Hello, I'm Sylvia. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sylvia.
Very happy to be here. And I was just going to ease right into here and talk, and then I was asked if I wanted to record it. And now I'm anxious because I am an addict and it's a self. So I'm going to talk about how that hurts me in my program and how I work it. But I'll be fine. But let me tell you about when I came into program, I was in Sacramento. I didn't know anything about AA. I had read a book. My son had been driving me crazy, adult son, and so I went to a bookstore just so we wouldn't have to talk, and I picked up this book, and it was a memoir, and she was describing what a compulsive overeater she was and how she got help, and she was describing OA, but I didn't know what it was. And I just got online, and I finally found some reviews that referred to what it was. So I looked up OA, knew nothing about it, knew nothing about 12-step, and found a meeting, and I felt like I was, like a conspiracy, what time is the meeting, and am I joining a cult, and, but I was desperate. I was very desperate. I came in, I probably was at my highest weight then. It was 11 years ago, but I did not come in for my weight at that point. I was so desperate because I could not stop eating. And I was crazy, and I finally knew it. I didn't even know how crazy I was. It was only in program later that I got to see the depths of my craziness. But to back up, when I was addicted to sugar right from the get-go, I know now, I remember at, I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and my mother let us make the chocolate milk where you put the Nestle's in the milk and stir it up, and she let me do it by myself. And so more was always better when it came to sugar, and I put so much in and stirred it up that I drank it and threw up. And that's my first recollection of not being able to control. My parents would give me lunch money every day. We would walk to school. Yes, that dates me. It was great. You walk to school, and I had money for a hot lunch, and I would take all the money and buy all the junk food that I could. I'd have to have sugar and salt and crunchy, and that's what I would eat for my meal, and I didn't think a thing of it. It just, I thought I was pretty smart. But I didn't. I was not overweight as a child. So I went on, and then I had some traumatic events happen to me. I was molested. I was raped. I had my father die. And I didn't know it, but that was probably the trigger of where I went full-born, where life was unmanageable, and that's what happened. I could not handle life, and so I needed to medicate, and so food was legal. Food was easy, and I honestly tried to drink too much because I thought this would be way better and easier for me. I couldn't drink enough to medicate the way I could medicate with food. Only I know that in hindsight. So by the time I, and I had, and I still have body dysmorphia, I cannot tell you how big I am or how little I am, and it can change hour to hour. And I will just have that the rest of my life. Somewhere something got broken, and I don't know. So I don't even go by the scale. I go by my clothing sizes pretty much to see how I'm doing. So I got into, in high school, I always felt different. I felt abnormal. I felt heavy. I look at the pictures. I look at my weight. It wasn't. It was all in my head. And then I got into college. I picked a college I wasn't comfortable in. And that's when I started my serious weight gain. And I got up pretty close to 200 pounds and kept it there. So I was morbidly obese. I felt different. I felt, I just felt a part of the world, distant from the world, isolated. And so, and I did all the, the binging in the car and having to, get rid of the wrappers so nobody would see them and eat before I went out so that nobody would know exactly how much I ate. And so I did all of that. And then I was going to have my first child. And I remember thinking that I did not want my child to be embarrassed about me. And I made a decision that I was not going to be fat. So what's the other part of that? Well, anorexia, of course. Let's not do this in a healthy way. So I just stopped eating, right? And so I stopped eating, and then I got really crazy for a while. And so I didn't feel safe in the world. That's the truth. I didn't feel safe in the world. And so I did this thing when I stopped eating that I was sure, and I'm going to be honest, because somebody else will have experienced this. I thought somebody was putting drugs in my food. I had persuaded myself that if something wasn't wrapped and contained, that someone had put like LSD in the food or whatever. Now, I think part of that is I didn't understand that when I was eating sugar and eating like additives and things like that, I could feel it physically, but I didn't know that. I thought it was just some weird, and I felt it mentally. So I went through this whole thing, and then I got down to anorexic, you know, just tiny. And I do have pictures I could send around. And I did that, and so everybody else thinks I'm good, right? I'm in normal body weight, I'm low, and everybody, and I still know I'm crazy. So when I got married for the second time, my first husband was my practice husband, I say, my second one took. I knew that there was something the matter with me, because on one of the things, wedding vows, that I made him promise is he would love me no matter what I weighed. And I was like 105, 108 when he weighed me. And within a year, I was up close to 200 because I knew I was crazy. And he honored that. He has never once judged me for my weight. It's been a miracle. I judged me, right? So what happened is I finally found a program. I had made, you know, and I looked successful by every avenue. I had a successful career. We had, you know, certainly enough money. My kids seemed fine. I had friends. But I knew something was the matter with me, but I never knew what. So I finally got into OA, and I walked in the door. It was in a Quaker meeting in Sacramento, and I felt like stealth. I was so afraid I was going to see someone, not knowing that if someone was there, they also had what I had, you know, because I was so into myself. And, so I was terrified, and I didn't tell my family. I didn't tell anyone. I just went, and I started going to meetings. And from the first minute I got in and people started to tell their story, I started to cry for a couple of weeks, didn't stop crying, because I finally discovered, I heard that this was not my fault. It wasn't that I didn't have enough self-control. I had a disease, a twofold illness. I had an allergy that when I eat certain things, and if for me it's sugar, and if it's anything salty and crunchy and fat, that my off button doesn't work. It's just broken. And so I had to like cut those things out. So I walked in the meeting, and some kind soul said to me at the very first day, at the end of the meeting, some of us don't eat sugar, and we try to only eat 3 meals a day. And that's the only directions I was given in the packet. And so the next day, I said, I'm doing it. No sugar, 3 meals a day. I put the sugar down. I have to tell you, I felt like hell for many weeks, but they told me, you are going to feel more. You're going to feel angry, frightened, insecure, whatever, because I've been medicating my emotions all this time. So I felt pretty bad. And I remember the first day thinking, I ate my breakfast, and then I wasn't going to eat until noon again. And I thought I was going to starve to death between 8 and 12. I mean, I had never stopped eating for 4 hours. And so I went to another meeting that night, and someone said in this man's share, nobody ever died of starvation between meals, and I needed to hear that because I wasn't sure, right? So I got abstinent from the get-go, and I lost about 50 pounds pretty quickly, maybe in about 6 months or so. But I didn't work the program. I didn't, you know, I was doing the 1-2-3 dance. You know, I was powerless over food. My life was unmanageable, and there was this higher power or whatever. And that's where I was. And so I got to a point where I went to a meeting. I was having terrible problems at work. Wanted to quit my job, and everybody else's fault. And so I went into a meeting, and I was like crying. I had to go back to work. We'd been off for a few weeks. I had to go back to work. And I was like devastated. I couldn't go back. and I was crying. And so I heard somebody say something in a meeting that I thought maybe she could relate to, how terrible my coworkers were. And so I went and talked to a young woman, much younger than me, and she had these little glasses, you know. And I went up and I said, could I talk to you? And she just looks down at me and she says, have you done your fourth step yet? Well, no, I haven't actually. It's only been a year, right? So she said, do your fourth step and then let's talk. So I got with my sponsor and I did my fourth step that next week. And that's where my recovery really started. So I was in a body, normal body weight, and I started to really start to figure out what the heck was going on. And, you know, I was willing. That's what happened. I was willing. And we got to talk about self-centeredness, fear, dishonesty, and all these things that I got to see my part, and I couldn't look at anyone else's. And so because I was willing, I got to change. I got to, you know, I did the rest of the steps very quickly, gave up my character defects to God because I finally understood what they were, because I was doing everybody else's inventory and not mine. And then I started living in 10, 11, and 12. And if you're new, I'm going to talk about that quickly. So what happened is I got to make a lot of amends at my workplace. That was the worst of where I had done the damage. And so I got to practice, you know, being who God would have me be. That's the deal, you know, not who you would have me be or my family wants me to be or who I think I ought to be, but I got to practice on a daily basis who God would have me be. So about a little over 5 years ago, I started getting into the big book studies. I was in OA Primary Purpose, then I morphed into the coffee shop, and then I moved into A Vision for You, which is the telephone meeting, meets 5 days a week, and it's got the Sunday edition, and it's online, and I can give you the phone number too. And I got my sponsor through there on the telephone, and I started going through the big book with someone else and got that next level of recovery. So I not only got neutrality around the food, which I was promised, the big book promises me that, but I got to get the monkeys and all the debate team and all of that in my brain to quiet down, which was a miracle because I didn't even know the chatter. I didn't even know that was my ongoing subconscious, you know, you're too fat, they're not whatever, these people are. I mean, I was doing judgment of everybody else and of myself 24/7. I wasn't even aware of it. So I got to calm my mind down and I got to hear what I was thinking. And I got through on one day at a time to pray and meditate, to work with other people, to work with my sponsor, and to start to get reconnected with my thoughts and my feelings. And I think that, you know, the thing I am most amazed about in my recovery is that if I work this program 24 hours, I stay abstinent. Why am I staying abstinent? Not to be in a normal body weight. That's great. But it's, you know, our primary purpose is to be of maximum service to those still suffering and to our fellow man. That's our primary purpose. Abstinence is my way to that. So that's what it says. Our primary purpose is to refrain from compulsive overeating and to be of maximum service. And so if I'm abstinent, I have a shot at being connected to a higher power and reconnecting my feelings and emotions to my thoughts and my actions. And that was what was missing. Before, I didn't even know. If you would look at me, and maybe you would have a little grimace, and I would go, I said something wrong. And my next thought would be, I need a potato chip. I didn't even get that connection. I mean, I just didn't know why I needed the potato chip. And what I got to learn is someone could grimace because they had a stomach ache. It didn't have anything to do with me, right? And so that's how I practice my program now, is that I feel like I am disconnected from my feelings and my emotions for for the rest of my life without taking daily action. Those things that happened to me as a child, those happened, you know? And if something got broken, but it doesn't mean that I can't medicate that through this program rather than through food. I mean, that's and I'll wind right up. That's the miracle of the program for me. And how I exercise that miracle is by living in steps 10, 11, and 12. So there's no way for me to have gotten recovery without working steps 1 through 9 and to do it quickly. My disease wants me to eat. You know, this is the easier route. It feels like it doesn't anymore. But step 10 makes me immediately reconnect with a feeling. Step 11 makes me connect with God. And step 12 makes me get out of myself and help other people. That's where the miracle of the program comes for me. And I'm happy to be asked to share today, and I hope that I said something that helps you with your program. I'm very, very happy to be of service. That's the deal. Great. Okay.